It's me, El Topo, here. I'm solo yet again due to a scheduling confliction. The other members of the Molehole Radio family weren't able to be with us tonight. But fear not, I am here, and I will be with you always through the darkest nights, through the something, through the fucking, you know, when black people move into your neighborhood and you're not sure about it. Or when a Hispanic guy's standing next to your car and you're like, is he gonna fucking jack me or is he just like standing there for some reason? I will be there for you, my devoted listeners. Just like I did the last time I was by myself, I opened up my show and my show preparation to the lovely people over at theouthousers.com. And of course, that is www.theouthousers.com, just about the greatest comic book website you will ever come across, I have to say. And I'm going to get to everyone's questions for me here in a minute. But before that, I would like to get into two movie reviews rather briefly. I saw two movies over the weekend. It was a big movie weekend for me. Friday night, I went with the lovely Cynthia, my beautiful girlfriend. I went to see The Last Exorcism. Now, I've told a few people that I've seen the movie, and the first response I've gotten out of almost all of them is, what's that? This movie is relatively small and independent, and I think it came out and no one knew about it. I personally don't remember seeing any advertisements for it. I only knew about it because, you know, I stay pretty current on all the horror news, and I remember seeing like a poster for it at the movie theater, and I was interested in it. Eli Roth produced it. You know, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Eli Roth. I like the guy, but I think the guy tries too hard. Oddly enough, I think he's a really good actor. I thought he was great in Planet Terror, or not Planet Terror, the Tarantino one. What the hell is it? Death Proof. I thought he was great in that, and I thought he was great as the Jew Bear in Inglourious Basterds. His movies are kind of a mixed bag. I enjoyed Cabin Fever and Hostel, but I mean he's kind of a guy that seems kind of lost sometimes. It's like, I don't know if he knows if he wants to take himself seriously or not. I mean, like, you know, both those movies had moments that were just, like, really, really absurd for no apparent reason. And it's like, I guess that's intentional to me. I know he's a big Takashi Mike fan, and he's known for throwing the same kind of things in his movies. For you guys who are not familiar with Takashi Mike, watch Dead or Alive. A great movie. A fantastic action movie that ends, I'm not going to say because I don't want to ruin it, but for those of you that have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. And for those of you that haven't seen it, just make sure you pay attention at the end, because there's no way in hell you'll see the ending coming. But regardless, I like Eli Roth enough, I guess, and I saw that he was producing it, so at least this movie sort of piqued my interest. And for whatever reason, I'm like a battered spouse, I guess, when it comes to exorcism movies, because I've seen quite a few. I've seen at least half a dozen. The most recent one I can remember seeing was The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And that movie, I liked it, and then it basically took way too long to get to the actual exorcism part. I mean, that's the part of the movie that you want to see. And if I remember correctly, it's been a while. The majority of the movie is like a courtroom drama, and that's not what I paid for. And then when they finally get to the exorcism part, it was kind of boring. Again, it's been a while. I'd give you a more in-depth review, but I didn't really give that movie a lot of thought. So, you know, just by virtue of the fact that I don't remember much of it, is going to tell you that I didn't really care for it. But anyway, that one was terrible, and then this one comes out, The Last Exorcism. Well, like I said, a lot of people didn't know about it, so let me bring you into the picture on this one. The Last Exorcism is about a guy named Cotton, who is an evangelical preacher. I'm not sure if I said that word correctly, but he's like the down south very theatrical, exorcise the demon kind of preacher. And he, you know, goes from town to town, and he gives his crazy, you know, praise Jesus sermons. And he also is he's told by his father that his family is descendants, and I shouldn't say descendants. His family has a legacy of being exorcists. So not only is he a preacher by day, but he answers people's requests to have exorcisms performed, which of course he makes a nominal fee for doing that. And the movie is shot film verite style for you film one students out there, meaning it's filmed like a documentary, like a mockumentary, film within a film, which by the way is getting kind of old in my opinion. I feel like every TV show is doing it. I feel like every movie is doing it. You know, it's not clever anymore. And I understand, I know it's the times we live in. I know we live in this, you know, this society now where, like, everything's on YouTube and everything is reality TV. But in my opinion, and I could be wrong, but in my ultra-critical opinion, you know, it's times like this where I don't think we need any more, like, fake reality. We have, like, you can't turn on the TV without seeing fake reality. So it's like, why do you need this over and over and over again? But that's just my opinion. But anyway, that's how the movie's shot. And what you're led to believe is Cotton, the preacher, has kind of lost his faith a bit, and he's kind of seen what bullshit what he's doing is. So he wants to bring in a documentary film team to document the hoax that he pulls on these people in hopes to, like, show people that exorcism is ridiculous, because I think what prompted this is he read some story about some exorcist killing this girl because he threw her head in like a bucket of water or something and she died. So he wants to make a documentary to show people how ridiculous all this stuff is, and he'll you know, shine light on this so people will stop going to exorcism or having exorcisms. So anyway, that's the premise, and I have to say, 20 minutes into this movie, I was like, this is going to be awesome. This is a great premise. You have the preacher who's lost his faith, knows it's all bullshit, goes to perform a fake exorcism, and then boom, real exorcism happens. That's what I thought they were setting up. That's a fantastic premise. I was ready for this movie to be awesome. What happens is he goes to this friggin', you know, backwater, I think it was in Louisiana, this backwater, like, farmhouse, and you find this, the girl that's supposed to be possessed is this, like, sweet, homeschooled schoolgirl, and, you know, the dad is this overbearing, hyper-religious drunk, and her brother's creepy, and, well, I'm not gonna give away the whole movie. I certainly, again, I can't tell you enough, please don't see this movie, because, They spend a good chunk of the movie, pretty much the entire sum of the movie, trying to explain that the girl isn't possessed and she's just crazy. It's just, let's just say that by the end of the movie, the problem with this movie is that it's just blown potential. The movie is actually pretty good, aside from some parts that are incredibly stupid and unintentionally hilarious. The movie is pretty solid. The problem is the last 10 minutes, the ending, is so tacked on and rushed and bad that it ruins the entire movie. The movie, to me, was like the movie Smoking Aces. I thought the movie Smoking Aces was fucking phenomenal until they got to Jeremy Piven's condo, and then the movie fell apart. You know, the movie was great, I loved it, and then that happened, and I hated it. And that's exactly what this movie is. The Last Exorcism... It literally, again, I'm not going to spoil it for people. I will if you want me to, I guess, but, and you know, you can respond to the thread by saying you want me to spoil it for you, but it just ends so over the top and theatrical and ridiculous. Now, I've read on IMDb, I don't know why I do this to myself, but I go to their message boards from time to time just to see what people have to say about it, and people are like, well, you know, it kept the audience guessing, and it's just like, no. You establish a tone for a movie, you have to kind of stay within the parameters that you've set for yourself. When you establish something as being quasi-realistic, when you make it completely ludicrous, you've just destroyed the tone that you've designed for the whole movie. Yeah, it's unexpected, but it's bad. I mean, you know, it doesn't make it a good movie or a good plot device. It just makes it cheesy and stupid. I think it's funny that, like, Pete, you know, you're always going to find somebody to defend a bad movie. And, you know, I've been the person to defend a bad movie from time to time. But, I mean, to say that this ending was, you know, deliberate and, you know, you could see it coming, you couldn't, because it's completely absurd. I mean, you literally have, like, it'd be like having a movie about World War II, and then they're raiding Hitler's bunker, and dragons start pouring out of Hitler's bunker, and they're like, oh, Hitler had a dragon farm in his basement. I mean, it's that absurd, and it's just really, really bad, and it ruins the movie. Again, I can't, like, the movie itself was excellent right up until the end. I like the preacher, I like the angle. A lot of people that I see online and a lot of movie critics said that the acting was bad. I actually thought that the girl that was possessed did a really excellent job. I thought the preacher did a really good job. But I cannot recommend this movie because of its absolutely absurd ending, which I really want to spoil, but, you know, for those of you that haven't seen it and still want to torture yourself, I will not tell you what happens at the end. I will just tell you that it is incredibly stupid. And if you'd like me to spoil the ending, I will actually make a special recording where I rant and rave about how much I hated the ending, if that's what you want. So just go on the website and leave a comment, and I will do it. That's how this show works. I literally just do whatever you people tell me to do, because it's actually quite easy when you guys tell me all the topics, because then I can just riff. I don't have to come up with anything on my own. To me, it's like cheating. It's like the Konami code for radio. The other movie I saw this weekend, I saw it with Mr. Goggs, and I'm sure that next week he'll chime in on this as well. But we saw Robert Rodriguez's new film, Machete, or Machete, as they keep saying. Danny Trejo, you know him as that big Mexican dude that's in, like, every movie. Danny Trejo finally gets a leading role, and I gotta say that Machete, to me, was, like, one of the most fun movie-going experiences I've had in a while. I had a smile on my face from the beginning of that movie to the end of the movie. I mean, that movie was just... I mean, first of all, it's absolutely hysterical. It's very, very funny. It's incredibly violent. Just think, if you've seen Rodriguez's Planet Terror, which is, you know, part of Grindhouse, which this is how Machete started. It was the trailer before Planet Terror. It started out, I kind of like that whole thing as well, is that, you know, Machete started out as this fake trailer, and, you know, they ended up making it into a real movie. P.S. to that, they're actually making, speaking of Eli Roth, they're making Eli Roth's fake trailer into a movie too, Thanksgiving, so I'm interested in seeing that. But anyway, it's a lot like Planet Terror in the fact that it's just, the violence is just madcap, over the top. I mean, he cuts a guy's arm off, and then he shoots the guy with the arm that he just cut off. I mean, the gun's in the hand, and he's still shooting with it. It's just all comedy, all violence, and all hot chicks. Jessica Alba is in it. She's smoking ass hot. who else? Michelle Rodriguez is in it, who Goggs tells me is a lesbian. I had no idea. She's in it. She's very attractive. Every girl in it is smoking ass hot. There isn't one unattractive girl. There's some girl that's like a newscaster that's in the movie that's like super hot. I mean, it's all hilarious, violent, and sexy at the same time. I mean, it's just such a fun movie. You know, a lot of people I hear always criticize me because I don't like, you know, stuff like Michael Bay movies and James Cameron movies. And they're like, well, they're just fun popcorn movies. And I don't see it that way. I mean, I see those movies as being, like, trying too hard to be serious. I mean, as goofy as Transformers is, I don't think Michael Bay looks at that movie like it's goofy. Like, I don't think Michael Bay appreciates that it's just big robots flying around the screen. Or, well, I assume they're flying around the screen. You can't fucking tell half the time. And I know that James Cameron thinks that his movies are, like, fine art. I mean, James Cameron comes out and says that
only 3D movies that should come out should be serious, and Piranha's 3D isn't serious like Avatar.
I mean, fucking Avatar is, I guess Avatar's like fucking Schindler's List or something. Blue space alien Indians, you know, in Dancing with Wolves is like fucking, you know, Howard's End or something. So, you know, people say to me that, you know, James Cameron and, you know, Transformers and Avatar are popcorn movies. I strongly disagree because I don't feel that they respect popcorn movies. I don't think they understand what that means. But I think a guy like Rodriguez, who makes, you know, movies like Planet Terror and like Machete, understands it, embraces it, and just goes full bore. I mean, this movie is just so over the top and amazing. I can't recommend it enough. I can't wait till it comes out. I will buy it immediately. I absolutely loved it from beginning to end. I was riveted to the screen, and I just loved it. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Danny Trejo, it's nice that he finally gets a lead role, because the guy's just great, and go see it. Steven Seagal's in it. I mean, what else is there to see? I mean, Robert De Niro is in it, and he plays like this ultra-racist state senator. Because that's the other funny thing. The movie, in spite of all its zaniness, actually has a message about American immigration. Goggs and I joke that Glenn Beck probably hates this movie, but I absolutely loved it. I give it my highest recommendation. It was one of the most, like I said, probably the most fun I've. How cliche is that? The most fun you'll have at a movie this year. But that's how I felt about it. I absolutely loved it. I was laughing. I wanted to beat off because of the hot chicks. I just loved it. And you know, I know it's just a rumor right now, and it's probably never going to become more than just a rumor, but Rodriguez has been kicked around as one of the directors for a potential Deadpool movie. I gotta say, and I'm not even a big Deadpool fan, and if they give it to Rodriguez, chances are he won't be able to do all the things he wants to do, but at the same time, he's not the kind of director that would take a project where he wouldn't have creative control. However, in the world of hypothetical, if Rodriguez gets Deadpool and gets to make essentially what is like a Machete movie, it could be so amazing because the guy just gets action and comedy and violence, and I think that's, you know, basically what Deadpool is, and I just think he would be such a perfect fit, especially after watching this movie. I mean, the action sequences in Machete are great. I mean, they're just fantastic action sequences, but they're sandwiched with this humor and this tongue-in-cheek nature that just makes them so fucking great. I mean, even better, you know. It's you know, a lot of times when you have a movie, you either get comedy or action. It's hard to get both, and you know, he balances it perfectly and almost effortlessly. But I guess that's what all the greats do. You know, they make what is incredibly difficult look incredibly easy. But anyway, that's enough with my movie reviews for the week. Let's talk. Let's see what you outhousers want me to talk about today. And of course, like always, I'm pulling up the thread as I'm recording. So you guys, I'm living on the fringe. Outhouse correspondent OG Boy. I guess that's how it's pronounced, or Ogly Boy. No, there's no L, so it's OG Boy. You know, for all you outhousers listening to this, you know, a number of you, I've never actually, like, I've seen your name, and I know who you are, but I've never actually kind of read your name, so it's always like, well, what, how is that? It's adorable. I'm basically illiterate, is what I'm trying to say. But OG Boy wants me to talk about football, because I was talking about the fucking crappy Eagles this morning. Sure, I love football. I was very excited that football season started last weekend. I was rocking my throwback John Riggins jersey. I've said this many times, and as you people will know, I'm a huge sports fan, which I think is at odds with my incredible nerdiness. At least I think so. I mean, I don't know. I talk to a lot of comic book fans that like sports and stuff, but I think as a general rule, nerds aren't supposed to like sports. But I mean, I love hockey and baseball and football. you know, Caps, Orioles, and Redskins. But football is just, it's the best. You know, it's a short season. It feels like every game means something. I love my Redskins. They have the potential this year to actually be good. Whereas, you know, the last 3 years, they've just looked like a disaster before the season started, during the season, after the season. The thread that ushered all this football talk this morning was talking about the Eagles getting rid of Donovan McNabb, and whose side do you take? Do you take Andy Reid's or Donovan McNabb's? And, you know, moreover, you know, how do you feel about Philadelphia getting rid of him and going a different direction? I just can't understand why Philly would get rid of Donovan McNabb. The guy was the face of the franchise. The Eagles have, like, nothing on their team. I mean, it would be like the Orioles, you know, to throw a baseball analogy. It would be like the Orioles in Cal Ripken's prime saying, yeah, we're going to get another shortstop. We're going to get another third baseman later in his career. You know, they're not going to – how could you do that? I mean, he's Donovan McNabb. He's been the Eagles. And the thing is that they say they're going to go another direction. What, with Kevin Cobb? Kevin Cobb's horrible. He's been in a couple of games last year, and he looked good once out of, what, four times he looked okay. I mean, the guy is not good. And then you got Michael Vick as your third string. What's that going to get you? The guy hasn't played in how many years? And, I mean, realistically, he wasn't that great when he was in his prime. He was good. He was a runner. But it wasn't like that guy was winning championships. So you say you're going to go another direction, but you don't really have any kind of backup plan. I mean, it'd be one thing if they had, you know, they had somebody like waiting in the wings that was really something, or they had maybe a high draft pick that they were going to get that they were going to do something with. But to get rid of him for nothing, and that's the other thing, you know, on the flip side, the Redskins getting him was, they had to do it. Somebody like McNabb comes available, especially for what he became available for, you take him. The guy's like the fourth, he's like the fourth best quarterback as far as winning percentage. Of course the Redskins are going to take him. And on the Redskins' point of view, it's really the first time, and even if McNabb fails as a quarterback and doesn't really light the world on fire, you know, he's a leader and he's a professional quarterback. And maybe people outside of the Washington, D.C. area, the Redskin Nation, won't really understand this, but the Redskins haven't had a real leader quarterback in, I mean, I couldn't even tell you, a decade, maybe more. I mean, we've had a bunch of guys that come in for a few years, and then they leave. They never really grow into anything. I mean, Campbell was a mess. As much as I liked him and was hoping he'd develop into a better quarterback, he just never did. You know, going down the line, Brunell, and then guys like Shane Matthews and Danny Werfel. I mean, we never had a guy that would really, you know, be the representative for the team. And I think that a good quarterback is that. You know what I mean? I think that a quarterback should be the guy that is the face of the team. He's the leader. I mean, that's, you know, the way it is. So for the Redskins to take him and not really give anything up for him besides some draft picks and a little bit of money, I mean, it was a genius move. For the Eagles, it just makes no sense. I mean, they get rid of him. They get rid of Westbrook. I mean, they got, what, Deshaun Foster now? I mean, like, they have nothing. It's like, I feel like the Eagles may have some kind of weird, like, backdoor deal where their ownership just wants them to lose, like the evil woman in Major League. Does anybody remember Major League? It's, like, my favorite movie. But, like, the owner of the Indians wanted to, like, have the Indians be the worst team in the league so she could relocate to Miami and summer there. Maybe that's what's going on in Philly, because, like, their moves, I mean, don't make any sense. And, again, they don't have anything to fall back on. Like, if you're going to get rid of McNabb and just, you know, spit in his face, essentially, you think you'd have a backup plan. But if your backup plan is Kevin Cobb and fucking Michael Dog Murderer Vick, which I have to, what did I say today that I thought was funny? I mean, it wasn't funny, but I thought it was funny, so I'll just reiterate it anyway. You know, Michael Vick is a 43% career passer, but he's 100% dog murderer. That's right. Fucking dickhead. Shouldn't even be in the league. That's my opinion, but And, you know, I love people that, oh, he needs a second chance. Well, fuck him, he doesn't need a second chance. You know how many people don't get second chances that fucking break the law? You know, why does he need a second chance? Because he's a football player? Because he throws a fucking football? That should be more reason why he never should be in the league. He was given this fucking golden opportunity that he fucking just pissed on. So fuck him. That's the problem with today's society. There's no fucking repercussions for anything. Everything's just like, eh. Like, you're famous, you'll be okay. Like, it bothers the hell out of me. And I know people are, like, getting worked up, or they're like, well, the people act like he murdered people. Yeah, I understand that. I'm more upset the fact that he broke the law and he basically, I mean, he served his time, but, you know, he shouldn't get all his privileges back. You know, that's not how the world works. But that's how I shouldn't say that. That is how the world works. I wouldn't work it that way. I think that they should have never let him in the league again. But I think I talked about this years ago. I think I actually made a video about it. It's better for the league because it creates hype, and that's hype and money, and that's all it's about. But anyway, what else? I hate Eagle fans because they're all dickheads, and they're some of the worst fans in football. They're basically the Los Angeles Raider fans of the East Coast. They throw batteries at their own players. I mean, they're just despicable people, and they're losers because, you know, they've never won anything. They want to sit there and talk about how they want anything. They have this sense of entitlement, but they've never done shit. The Giants fans suck. Everybody sucks, except for the Redskins. And by the way, that's the only opinion you should have as a true fan. I hate all these people that are like, well, I like the Ravens and I like the Redskins. It's like, uh-uh. You get one. I hate people that are like, well, I have my NFC team. And then I have my AFC team. It's like, you get one. And you know what else I can't stand? People that, like, that live, let's say you live in, I'll just use my own example. Let's say you live in Baltimore, but you're a Cowboys fan. You've lived in Baltimore all your life, and you're a Cowboys fan. How'd you become a Cowboys fan? I don't know. I like their jerseys. I thought Troy Aikman was good looking. That is, like, the worst, like, oh, I can't, that just drives me crazy. Like, I don't know why, and of course, it's really stupid and immature, but, I mean, fuck it, it's a, you know, it's sports, who cares, that's the name of the game. But, like, if you have no real connection to the town, like, why are you a fan? Like, all these fucking people in Maryland that are, like, Pittsburgh Steeler fans, it's just like, you guys can all just fucking sit and twirl. Like, wow, it must be hard to fucking support the Steelers, you know, and, like, they're essentially good every year. At some point, and you're just conveniently a Steeler fan. You're like, I bleed black and gold. It's like, ugh, shut the fuck up. It's so irritating. You know, it's just like, and then those fucking fair weather losers are the first people that are like, you know, oh, the Redskins suck. Blah, blah, blah. And yeah, the Redskins do suck, but at least, like, I have a team that I've stuck with, you know, for a long time, and I don't just conveniently like them because they're the team du jour. You know what I mean? And it's self-serving, yeah, to say that, like, you support a shitty team. But, like, fuck those people. I like the Steelers. I like the Cowboys. You never meet a guy that just casually likes the Detroit Lions, you know? Some guy that lives in fucking Pennsylvania. He's like, I'm a big Lions fan. Yeah, it's funny you never see those people. But you see a lot of people that, I love the Steelers. I'm a big Patriots fan. It's always good teams, you know? And they're so diehard. It's just like, give me a fucking break. Like, you fucking posing lying fucks. I hate you all. But yeah, every team in the NFC East can go fuck themselves. Pretty much every team except for the Redskins can go fuck themselves. I don't like any of them, and they all suck. And the Redskins are going to go undefeated and go to the Super Bowl. Alright, that's not true, but hopefully they'll do pretty well. So there you go, some football talk. Hope you liked it. Let's see, what is next on the old docket? Jude Terror wants to know, the top 10 people you're not attracted to, but would sleep with anyway. Man, that's a good question. Alright, I'm gonna try to do this off the top of my head. I really should have done a little bit more preparation, done this better. Let's see here. Number 10, and I'm going, you know, from the lowest to the best. Number 10 would be, we're gonna go, let's see. Number 10 would be Sharon Osbourne. I don't think she's attractive at all. but there's just something about her. I think she's fucking crazy, and she's obviously got some kind of magical powers because she's kept that, you know, Ozzy alive despite the fact that he's, you know, doped up and half dead for this long. I mean, think about all the rock stars that are dead that are younger than Ozzy, you know, or were in better health. Like, Ronnie James Dio is dead, but Ozzy's still alive. And don't get me wrong, I don't wish Ozzy death. I love Ozzy Osbourne. I'm a huge fan of Ozzy Osbourne. But, you know, Ozzy's just destroyed his body over the years, yet he's still kicking. He's, you know, and Dio is dead, who, by all accounts, led a pretty clean life. So Sharon Osbourne must have some kind of magical vaginal powers. Let's see, number 9. God, I don't know. This is tough, man. Number 9. This is a tough one. I like it, but it's very difficult to think. Because, you know, essentially, I'm attracted to everybody. There's always something, you know. I mean, the only women I ever think about having sex with would be women that I'm attracted to. So I've never actually stopped and thought about ones that that I didn't want to have sex with. So this is difficult. Let's see. I would have sex with Gaboray Sibabe, the big fat black girl from Precious, just to prove that I'm not racist. So there's number 8. Number 7. Number 7 would be, I think her name is Karen O, the lead singer of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. She's not at all attractive, but there's something very sexual about her. I would fuck her. I think her name is Karen O. In that same line of reasoning, what was that? So Karen O would be number 7. Number 6 would be PJ Harvey, another girl that I don't think is remotely attractive at all. But she is very talented, so that is somewhat of a turn on. Number 6. Who would number 6 be? Number 6 would be Joan Rivers, because I think it would be funny just to say I had sex with Joan Rivers. Just to point at, like, the TV when that weird scarecrow-looking monster is on TV, like, yeah, I fucked that. Like, and I just want to hear her, like, ow, ow, like, even though that sounded like Paul Lynde, but I can't do it, but it would just be funny to me. So that's number 6. Was that number 5? Let's just say it was 5. I don't remember. Number 5 would be Ann Coulter, because Goggs would be furious that I had sex with her, but it'd be hilarious just to hear Goggs' reaction. Like, I can't believe you do that. I don't even remember what Ann Coulter looks like, but I'd fuck her. Why not? Number 4. Who would number 4 be? Number 4 would be... what's her name? Oh, crap. Now I'm going to forget her name. Chloe Sevigny from American Psycho. She played the... she played the secretary in American Psycho. She's been in a ton of movies. She's in that show Big Love. She kind of looks like a guy. I would have sex with her. I don't know why. I just would. Number 4? Are we at 4? I should really have a pen and paper ready, huh? Number 4 would be Kathy Bates. Number 3? No comment. Number 3 would be... number 3 would be, let's see here, I don't know, see, I find so many women attractive. Number 3 would be, who would it be? Nancy Reagan. How about that? That'd be good. Nancy Reagan, she's still alive. If she's dead, I'll still fuck her. Number 2 would be Bristol Palin, and number 1 would be Sarah Palin. Because let's face it, it'd be great. It'd be great to just fuck the hell out of Sarah Palin. That is a tough list, Mr. Jude Terror. That is a very tough list. Now, Outhouse correspondent Emma, or I'm sorry, Nerdy Girl, former alias Emma B, she would like to know, are people in bands inherently cooler than I assume people that aren't in bands? Actually, Emma, it's very fascinating that you asked me that. Most of the time, people in bands are actually lamer than regular people, because a lot of people in bands, not all, a lot of people in bands don't talk about it, but the ones that do are just so fucking irritating. Like, there's a few people that are on my Facebook list that always send me invitations to go to their terrible shows, and that I don't think they ever realize that I never go to any of them, so it's like, you might take the hint that I'm not coming. Your band sucks, you suck, and I don't give a fuck, so leave me alone. Now, being in a band is kind of like being really good at karate. And by that I mean people that are really good at karate never talk about it. And I'm by karate, I just mean like martial arts or whatever. You know, people that are really good fighters never talk about fighting. They keep it to themselves, and they're usually very respectful. People in good bands don't really talk about their band very often. No, most of the time, you have to drag it out of them that they're in a band because they're humble, and they don't want to be like, you know, they don't want to bring, you know, attention or criticism to themselves, I guess. So, you know, inversely, people that aren't in good bands and don't know anything about karate but watch a lot of MMA, they can't stop talking about themselves. Ugh, God, that chicken salad sandwich is killing me. They can't stop talking about themselves, their shitty band, and their shitty high kicks that they, you know, and how they look like Ken from Street Fighter. So to answer your question, no, people in bands are not inherently cooler than other bands. I don't know if this guy was in a band, but I went to Walmart today after work. Fucking Walmart. This guy's on the bench outside of Walmart playing guitar. It's just like, you know, suburban kids just do it wrong. Like, who does that? He wasn't even playing it right. Like, he wasn't playing it properly or with any kind of proficiency. I was amazed that he would be just out there plunking away. So there you go, Emma. I hope that answers your question. Let's see what we got here next. OG Boy wants a rundown of who I will think will win each division in the NFL. Should have read that when I talked about my other thing. Let's see here. The NFC East will clearly be the Redskins. The NFC, what is it? I can't even remember the divisions. That's pretty bad. Who else? I don't know. Just the Redskins. The Redskins are going to win the Super Bowl, so what else do you need to know? Now, the AFC East, I think the Ravens are going to win, quite honestly. I think that they're really, really strong this year, even though I'm not a big fan of them at all. Who else? I honestly can't remember who were in the divisions, because I got put on the spot. It's really bad. Let's see here. So, I think that, you know, the AFC East, I just said the Ravens were going to be in the East, they're not even in the fucking East, that's pretty bad. I think that the AFC East is pretty much up in the air. I feel like the Jets are favored to win it, but I think that they're going to crash and burn. I think that team is a complete mess. If you watched any of that Hard Knocks, I just thought that they came off as braggarts with a big mouth that couldn't back it up. I thought that team was completely uncoached and just out of control. And I really haven't – I didn't watch any of the – I didn't see any clips from Miami or Buffalo, but they're usually bad. And the Patriots – I mean, I guess the Patriots will win because they're always a strong team, but it'll come down to the Patriots and the Jets. The AFC North, that's where the Ravens are. Ravens are going to take that division pretty easily because the Steelers aren't going to be good this year. The Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns, and the Bengals are going to self-destruct under T.O. and Cinco Ocho's egos. So I think the Ravens will take the AFC North. As far as the AFC South goes, it'll be the Colts. I know that the Texans beat them, but the Colts are going to win because they're the fucking Colts, and they're fucking good every year. I mean, you have Peyton Manning. That helps. The AFC West, I'm just going to guess, because that conference, or that division is a fucking disaster. The AFC West will be taken by the Chargers. Why not? I mean, the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Raiders. I wish that the Redskins could be in a division like that. I mean, the Broncos and the Chargers are just fighting for that every year, right? Because the Chiefs and the Raiders are just garbage. And they've been garbage for a long time. So, let's move on to the NFC. Of course, the NFC East, the Redskins will win a lot because they'll go undefeated. The NFC North, let's just say the Packers. NFC South, let's just say the Saints, because again, that's another garbage division. And let's just say the West, I don't know, the Cardinals. Again, the Rams, I would love to be in a division with the Rams and the 49ers. So, there you go. There's my picks. Hope you like them. Write them down. When I'm right at the end of the season, you can all say, I heard it on the Mole Hole Radio Show. Nerdy Girl, Outhouse correspondent Nerdy Girl, would like to know what women can do while the men watch football. They can blow them while they watch football. There is nothing better than a little football, a little beer, a little pizza, and a nice blowjay. And or they can be in the goddamn kitchen where they belong. Next question. Outhouse court. Now my fucking allergies start on me. The outhouse correspondent known as AMS would like to know the top three things you would say to Obama while eating lunch at KFC. That's racist. Why would I be at lunch with the president at KFC? I would hope that the president could fucking, you know, give me something like a Ruth Chris Steakhouse or something. He's the fucking president. I know the economy's bad, but if I'm sitting down with Obama, I don't want to eat like a famous bowl. What would I ask Obama? You know, I don't know. I'd probably just talk to him. I really don't have anything like specific to ask the guy. You know, I think that a lot of people, you know, want to put a lot of power into that guy's hands, but feel more and more like the president's just a figurehead anyway. And I don't know. I don't really have, like, it's funny, like, I guess, like, if I sat down with, like, David Lynch, I could think of a lot of things I'd want to say to him. If I sat down with a guy like Quentin Tarantino, I could think of a lot of things I'd want to say to him. Or, like, a writer like Chuck Palahniuk. But I'm not really a political guy, and I don't really have any kind of, like, mind-blowing, like, political questions. Like, I'm so disillusioned by politics. I mean, I'm not completely ignorant to them, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the more I know, the more it just makes me mad, and I just feel like the whole system's just so broken, it's not even worth knowing about. So, you know, unfortunately, I guess I'd ask him, one, what his favorite meal was at KFC, two, why we're eating at KFC, you're the fucking president, and three, what is your favorite horror movie of all time? So, there you go. Now this is an excellent question, this next one. Not that the rest of them weren't excellent, because they were all equally excellent. One of our loyal listeners, and it's Missack? I guess is how you say it? M-I-Sack? Missack? I don't know. He would like to know, what kind of pornography do hipsters watch? I have a definitive answer for that, because my new favorite hobby now is, Goggs was talking about this a couple weeks ago. He felt like that, you know, you go to these, like, streaming porn sites, and you feel like, he's like, well, don't you feel sometimes like you've seen it all? And I gotta be honest, I did kind of feel that way. So now, I'm kind of doing what I used to do back before all the free porn sites became, like, so rampantly abundant. And I used to get on the peer-to-peer downloadable things like LimeWire, and I would just put in a porn star's name, like Janet Jameson. And you'd have no idea what you were getting. You'd just hope that it was good. So you'd download it. It would take whatever amount of time, and then you'd open it up, and, you know, it'd kind of be exciting because you didn't know if you were going to get something good or something bad. So now I do the same thing, but I do it with torrents. So that's, like, my new thing. Like, I love it. Like, sometimes it's great, sometimes it's terrible, and you delete it or whatever. You know, and sometimes it's a dog fucking a woman in her college dorm room, and you finish up, you get disgusted, and then you throw it away. But anyway, so I stumbled across this thing Vivid Video has been doing. It's called Vivid Alt. And what it is it's Vivid Video, you know, the big porn distributor Vivid Video. It's their attempt to be a little bit more contemporary. So all of the actresses are young, hipster-looking girls, you know, dark hair, black, horn-rimmed glasses, tattoos. So they kind of look like the Suicide Girls, and they're all the porn actresses. And then all the guys in suit have the fucking goofy, swooshed-over hair and tattoos, same thing. So that's what they watch. And I gotta say that a couple of the girls are really, really hot. Like, they look just like Suicide Girls, so it's really good. But the biggest problem with this vivid alt porn is that they try to make it like too artsy. Like, you know, it's got all this like dramatic lighting, and you know, like the one I watched is like in the middle of a photo shoot, so the scenes keep interrupting with the photos of what they're doing, and it's just like nobody needs to see that. Like, just give me the business. I know what I'm seeing here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need all this art in my porn. But that is what hipsters watch. And if you want to see an example of what I'm talking about, the first movie that I downloaded was called Art Girls Are Easy. And more on that, you can look up porn star Pixie Pearl. She was the one that I thought was rather attractive. And I'd heard of her before because she was on the Stern Show. So, yeah, check that out. That's what hipsters watch. Outhouse correspondent GLX wants to discuss Bella's birthday. I don't know who Bella is. Bella from the Twilight books? Because he says people actually know the date. So I guess that's the Bella he's talking about. I mean, I'm not surprised. People love those fucking books. So why not? I mean, it's also one of those things where people love the... I should say women love those books. And women love nothing more than to celebrate, like, numbers on the calendar. So it makes sense that a series geared towards women, they would get around to celebrate the birthday of a fictional character. I mean, you don't see guys gathering around to celebrate the birthday of Darth Vader. Another thing he wants to talk about is Miss Hannah Minx. Now, I don't know what happened, because I heard about this girl months ago, because of the miracle that is Cracked. .com. It was one of Michael Swain's videos, and if you haven't seen Michael Swain's videos, do yourself a favor, go over to Cracked.com and watch every single one, because that guy is brilliant. Hopefully, you know, somebody from Cracked wants to hear this, so you can put a link to the site. I love Cracked.com. I post their articles on my Facebook pretty much every 5 minutes, and their videos are hilarious. But anyway, Miss Hannah Minx is this like gothy looking girl who's attractive enough. She looks a little heavy, but she teaches you Japanese. And the reason why she's famous and a sort of internet sensation is because it's shot with the camera directly looking down on her giant tits. And her tits are fantastic. You know, so it's all cleavage and then Japanese. I will say that, I don't think Miss Hannah Minx is the hottest girl that I've ever seen. She's definitely not bad looking, but she's smart, because one, she looks like a heavy girl. She looks like she could be a little heavy, and it's smart of her to just show the tits. She puts her best foot forward, so to speak. Also, she does the thing that a lot of these goth girls do on their Facebook and, you know, MySpace or what have you. You know, she wears a lot of heavy makeup, so the lights are real heavy, like, right on her face. So, if she has bad skin, you'd never know about it, you know what I mean? She's definitely smart in her marketing. But I'd love to see those tits, you know, out and with some air behind them. Like I said, she's kind of heavy, so I think she might not have great tits. I think that might be all bra, and I'm not saying that they're not big, mind you, people. I'm not that crazy. I'm just saying that they might not be great tits. They might be like droopy or I don't know. You know what I mean? Not that great. So I'd love to be proven wrong, but let's just see. But yeah, that's Miss Hannah Minx. You can check her out on the YouTubes, and that's Hannah H-A-N-N-A-H Minx M-I-N-X, and you can check her out on the YouTubes. Lastly, GLX wants me to talk about ballroom dancing. I don't know, it's fucking weird, it's ballroom dancing, why do people do it anymore? I mean, you know, people stopped doing a lot of things like 100 years ago because it was outdated and crazy. I mean, people don't hang people anymore because of that, why do they continue to ballroom dance? I don't know. Is that it? I think that's it, and I've gone pretty long, so I think that's going to be the show. I'd like to thank everyone over at the Outhouse for contributing, it's always a pleasure, and I hope you guys like the show. We'll be back at full power next week with Vinny and Goggs, all your favorite characters. I've been told we're going to do a Koran burning live on the air, so that should be exciting. But anyway, love you guys, and we'll see you next week. Bye.